athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
If this is your first time tuning in to Box to Row, thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. If you're a regular listener, we appreciate the support and say thank you. March Madness in full effect. The Final Four teams in the men's tournament going to play out on Saturday, with the championship game taking place on Monday. And I got to tell you, being right here in Raleigh, the NC State Wolfpack, and I mean, and I've said this on this show, I mean, let's think back about a month ago, to when we knew that North Carolina State had to win the ACC tournament championship to even get into the NCAA tournament. A month later, the Wolfpack is in the Final Four. Now, look, when I was watching that ACC tournament, I listened to the Louisville game. So that was of the ACC tournament. I believe that was a Monday. I was listening to that Louisville game. And then the next day, I tuned in the second half to the Syracuse game. I really watched. And DJ Burns and I hadn't really seen NC State play that much this year. And DJ Burns really caught my eye. And I'm like, with the way that the team played, knowing the kind of coach that Kevin Keats is, because Kevin Keats is a good coach. Look, there's been some hard times in Raleigh the last 2 or 3 years. There's been no doubt about that. But let's not forget when it all began, when NC State had success early on in the tenure of Kevin Keats. As a matter of fact, when Kevin Keats was the head coach at Wilmington, had Kevin Keats on the program, on this program, as a matter of fact, as he was preparing his Wilmington team to play in that NCAA tournament. There were all kinds of rumors. I mean, you could say unsubstantiated, but I think at the end of the day, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Asked him about the NC State job. He deferred. It's cool, right? So early on, there was some success there. And yes, there's been some hard times the last several years, but look at the Wolfpack now. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago because I thought it was a team that could win the tournament, okay, the ACC tournament. After the win in the Elite Eight, I'm like, I think NC State's going to win the national championship. Because NC State shouldn't even be where it is right now. It, at least up until this point, was sort of playing with house money, I think, in some respects, because nobody expected you to get here. And now that the Wolfpack is in the Final Four, I think, you know, this is a program that has an opportunity to do something very similar to what happened 41 years ago when the Wolfpack won the national championship in 83. That was a team that did not win out. That was obviously a while back. You know, I can't remember if the Wolfpack won the ACC tournament, but similar in terms of that underdog kind of mentality. And to be at this point now, I think it's super exciting. It's an absolutely phenomenal story. I think Raleigh is on fire, by the way, for those that, well, Raleigh's on fire. And so come 6:09 on Saturday, 6:09 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, I think Raleigh's going to be on fire again. Look, I know Purdue with Zach Edey. I had a chance to watch the Purdue Elite Eight game, and Purdue's got a really, really good team, but it's something special about the Wolfpack. And by the way, you've got a matchup, and I'm very much looking forward to that matchup between Burns and Edey, because Edey, while still taller than Burns, hasn't really faced a player like Burns that has that kind of girth, that kind of size. And then on the other end, and that's when you're talking about Edey on the offensive, from the offensive perspective. And if you look at what Burns can do offensively, I mean, he handles the ball. He's got that drop. You know, he's got that sort of that reverse dribble. He can drop step you. I mean, he's got all the moves. You know, that's going to present some challenges. Obviously, Edey's going to present some challenges for Burns as well. But the other thing about Burns is he can shoot the basketball from the outside. So that should be a great contest. The Alabama and UConn matchup should be a great one as well. I mean, who thought Alabama would have been to this point? I mean, I think we pretty much figured UConn would be here. By the way, UConn just is blowing by and blowing out opponents. But, I smell Alabama and NC State in the national championship game. I'm going to say it now. I smell NC State and Alabama in the national championship game. Too bad my sheet doesn't have that at all. As a matter of fact, I had in the national championship game, I had Arizona and Houston in the national championship game. Look how long ago that was. So you talk about Raleigh being on fire. Dreamville here in Raleigh on Saturday and Sunday. For those that don't know about Dreamville, it is one of and has become one of the premier festivals in the country. So it's put on by J. Cole, okay, and his Dreamville imprint. And then you've got J. Cole's going to perform. You've got Nicki Minaj is going to perform. SZA is going to perform. Chris Brown was supposed to have performed, but for whatever reason, Chris Brown's not going to be here. They've replaced Chris Brown with 50 Cent. I know that's not necessarily a popular thing, but it is where we are. And then you've got all these other performers, Money Long and Jeezy, and I'm looking forward to it. Like, I haven't been. It's been here for a couple of years now, and I hadn't been, but I'm looking forward to finally making it to Dreamville this weekend in Raleigh. So a lot going on in Raleigh this weekend. Look, a lot of things I want to get to today on the program. You want to talk about college basketball. The women have been absolutely phenomenal. It's been that way for the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years in terms of the popularity of women's basketball really growing. Because if you think back to back in the day when you had the Louisiana Techs and, you know, these really good USCs with Cheryl Miller and these really, really good programs. It was some good basketball, but the TV coverage wasn't there. But it was sensational basketball in terms of the level of play. And along the way, you've had some really, really good players, Candace Parker and, you know, so many other players that kind of come to mind, where the TV had become a little bit more elevated, but not to the point it is now. Now you've married elite players and really good women's college basketball with the TV coverage. And it is absolutely spectacular. You talk about the elite 8 matchup between LSU and Iowa. Caitlin Clark and company get the best of LSU this time around. You look at last year, LSU got the best of Iowa when it counted the most in the national championship game. But look, I want to talk about something, and we could talk about that matchup, and you know, we can look at the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese deal. I mean, when you look at that game, it's like, especially for Iowa, when I'm watching that game, and I've watched Iowa a little bit here and there, but I had a chance to really sit down and watch. I mean, it's Caitlin Clark and everybody else. And that's no disrespect to her teammates, because her teammates do hit some shots. They finish. She had what? Meaning Caitlin Clark, double-digit assists. So, you know, you got to have players. You can't do it by yourself. But in terms of the level of performance, what did Caitlin Clark have? 41 points? The level of performance in terms of what you're seeing on the court. And then really, I'll take it a step further. And look, you know, Angel Reese had a solid game. You know, a couple other players. But really, in that particular game, it was Caitlin Clark and then everybody else. Really, she was clearly the best player on the floor. Even more than that, I want to talk about Angel Reese and some comments that she made in the post game that I really want to address. And by the way, Angel Reese will be playing in the WNBA on next season, which I think is a really, really good move for her. And I'm going to tell you why. We'll talk a little bit. We'll get more into it today on the program. So we got college basketball talk. Also, we're going to be joined today here on Box to Row. Chris Crenshaw is the head baseball coach at Southern. Southern on Monday defeated LSU. LSU ranked number 18 in the country. A big win. And by the way, at that point, Southern had won four straight games, or three straight leading into the game against LSU, and came away with the victory. Chris Crenshaw, the head baseball coach at the head baseball coach at Baton Rouge, joining us today here on the program. And speaking of Baton Rouge, big shouts out to our affiliates in Baton Rouge, KKAY and KBRS. So the table is set. Look, we're going to step aside. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got more of Box to Row, including my thoughts on some post-game comments made by Angel Reese. Don't move. These birds copy every word, every inch. But gang gang got the hammer and the wrench. I pull up in that quarter milli off the lot. Oh, now she trying to be friends like I forgot. Show off my diamonds like I'm signed by the rock. Ain't pushing out. BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinance through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341. 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other factors.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State.
If I was to leave, everything has to be right. The school, the resources, the terms, because why leave a great situation that I do have? There is a stigma, Donald, I will say that again, it's a heavy stigma because there's no way you could put my resume, even like Lavelle's resume, you know, against any kind of mid-major coach in the country. And if you didn't say, okay, they coached at Norfolk State or they coached at Howard or Central or Morgan or whatever the case is, that they just took a blank canvas. There's no way that an AD wouldn't choose our resumes over the next person's resume.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row. Box to Box row. To Box to Row. Box to Row.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be.
Dreamville taking place in Raleigh this weekend. One of the artists, 50 Cent. Here to come here on Box to Row, Chris Crenshaw, the head baseball coach at Southern, going to join us on the program. Well, Angel Reese had some interesting post-game comments after LSU's loss to Iowa on Monday, and this is what she had to say in part. And we'll come back and discuss.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore. And I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
Angel Reese said a lot right there. Death threats. Sexualized. Certainly racism, a part of that as well, okay? And as she said, all of that since the national championship game. And she said, or has said, and reiterated it there, she has not been happy since the national championship game. Now think about that, okay? You work hard to get to this point and win a national championship. You come to your to LSU. She came to LSU from Maryland and hasn't been happy since winning the national championship game. And people are still mad about, you know, the whole thing with her and Caitlin Clark. And they've both since said it publicly. It's not like we've swept that part of it under the rug. It was some trash talking, some back and forth that was blown out of proportion to the point was downplayed coming into this game, wasn't talked about as much. You could even hear that during the course of the broadcast. If you listened to the broadcast, it was definitely downplayed. But that's the thing that really struck me of everything that she said. And I feel so bad for her because she's so young. This is a time in her life when it should be the best time in your life, having fun. And it's not to say, I mean, I mean, she said, I haven't been happy since the national championship game, which LSU won. Okay. And, you know, she did take some time away from the team. You know, a little bit earlier in the season, came back, still had a monster season, had LSU right back where it needed to be, and it just didn't happen for LSU. But that, she said a lot right there. And to me, okay, in terms of, you know, a lot was made. Well, Will, before she made her announcement, in terms of going to play in the WNBA, would she come back? Would she go to the WNBA in terms of, from an economic standpoint, may have made more sense, I think, in that, this aside, okay, if you're just, before we heard these comments, because to me, not enough people are talking about the comments that she made. She said she hasn't been happy since the national championship game. Like, that's, to me, and yes, the death threats are important that she's received. Being sexualized is important because those things have happened to her, okay? But not being happy since the national championship game, kind of playing through the season, natural talent, just a talented ball player. And again, before we knew all of these things, or before I knew, maybe she's stated these in the past, but I thought, you know, on this platform, this is a big platform to really make those comments post-game of the NCAA tournament and the Elite Eight, that she hadn't been happy. So, great move for her to go to the WNBA. Now, when you look at college coming back, before she said all of those things, would have made a lot of sense to come back to college. Why? Because from an economic standpoint, going to make more money. I mean, I think the maximum amount of money that you can make salary-wise in the WNBA is like $240,000 a year. That's the maximum. Now, there are certainly endorsements you would think that would be out there. But even beyond that, the college women's game is more popular than the WNBA, to me. I love watching the NBA. I'm more of an NBA fan than I am a men's college basketball fan, for me. Especially, and then when you ratchet it up to the playoffs, NBA, you know, the semifinals, the finals, all of that. I'm much more of an NBA. Like, I'll watch a regular season NBA game long before I watch a regular season college game, for me. To me, it's the, and just because it's a more perfect game, you know, I'm a pro sports guy, as I've said many times. For me, and maybe I'm not looking at this the right way, and you can give me your thoughts. By the way, hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on my personal X account at DWare1, at DWare1. I mean, the WNBA game is a good game. It's good. I don't really watch it that much. Like, I'm watching women's college basketball much more. By the way, shout out to the North Carolina A&T Lady Aggies for making it all the way to the, what they call the Super 16 of the WNIT, fell on Sunday to Troy. You had a really, really good team. We're talking about women's college basketball, and A&T is an HBCU, making it to the Super 16 of the WNIT. But again, back to this. College basketball, women's college basketball, to me, much more exciting, many more storylines than the WNBA. And maybe it's just me. Like, I'm not, I don't have a super great interest in the WNBA, even during the finals. I just don't have a great interest in it, but I do have a great interest in women's college basketball. And I just think that, though, it was a great move, because then moving forward to the WNBA, even though there are more perks, I think, in college, especially for Angel Reese, it's going to be a different fan base in the WNBA. And there's a fan base there. That's not to say that there's not a fan base. There's a fan base in the WNBA. It's going to be more of a mature fan base. All of that stuff that happened in college, I mean, sure, that's part of the legacy of Angel Reese, but you know, it's a different slate, it's pro basketball at its highest level. And while the money may not be as good, and I don't think the notoriety is as good. Look, we're going to see some WNBA games on TV, okay, on network television, as a matter of fact. But we've seen some women's college games on network television as well. It's just a good move because of all the things that Angel Reese has gone through. It's sort of a new slate, and I'm just happy for her, the decision that she made. But again, to me, going back to her comments and not being happy since the national championship game last year, that's over a year. I mean, think about that. You know, you've got a Twitter account. You've got to read all of these things on the Twitter account. You're just trying to share maybe your message with the world, or maybe some of your thoughts with the world. And even sometimes if you're not even in the limelight, meaning a story that's happening about you, or she's got to read these comments on her page, you know, or on the internet or in the newspaper, as it were. I hadn't had a chance to read that Los Angeles Times piece, but apparently it wasn't a flattering piece to Kim Mulkey, to the LSU program, to Angel Reese, etc. The writer of that has come out and apologized. So you already know that it wasn't a flattering piece. I need to read the piece. I read the Washington Post piece, by the way. If we have time on this show, I'll comment about that. I actually thought it was a good piece, some interesting things I didn't know specifically about Coach Mulkey. But good move in terms of the next chapter, if you will, for an Angel Reese. And it really, quite frankly, saddens me to hear that she's been dealing with this and has not been happy for a year. So again, hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter. Up next here on Box to Row, we're switching gears. We're talking with Southern head baseball coach Chris Crenshaw.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years. You can get to it. Man, you know what is good, and you're encouraging people to be better and do better, and that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school, and after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the L.A. Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Hillview Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have going to Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up-close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. The Southern University baseball program ranked number 7 in the Black College Baseball poll and has a weekend series, a home series, against Arkansas Pine Bluff in his fourth season as the head baseball coach of Southern is Chris Crenshaw. Of course, in his first season, the interim season, the Jaguars in 2021 winning the SWAC tournament championship, and on Monday, a huge win against, of course, LSU right there in Baton Rouge, ranked number 18 in the country, as Chris Crenshaw joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Coach Crenshaw? Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Your thoughts? That's a huge win for the program. It's not like you're akin to these kinds of wins. However, when you can do it against LSU, which is right there in Baton Rouge also, ranked number 18 in the country, it's got to make it that much more special.
Yeah, it's a big win for us. It's a big win for the university. So I'm glad we was able to get out there and play good baseball.
How were you able to do it? 12-7 victory. I mean, that's, you know, you really had, you know, you were able to cushion yourself in that last inning with 3 runs, but you led for a good bit. In terms of the number of runs for all of the game?
Yeah, we led the whole game. We did a good job of swinging their balls in the strike zone and putting them in play. I think we struck out a good bit. I think we struck out 12 times, but that's what happened when you face guys that got power stuff. But the balls that we could put in play, we made sure we put them in play.
How do you look at this win? I know you said it's good for the university. If you've been around baseball a long time, how do you is it just another win for you?
No, it ain't just another win. It's a big win. I don't want to sound like it's not a big win, but it was a big win. But to me, getting ready for this weekend is important. Because we played good on Monday, that means we got to go out and play good again because now it's expected.
Yeah, and you were coming off a series sweep the previous weekend against Prairie View A&M. So you were hot kind of coming into that game. Was there a lot of carry? Because the way you started the season wasn't great. Jaguar Nation can't be happy with the loss against Grambling in the manner in which that happened early in the season. But was there some carryover from the Prairie View A&M series?
Yeah, we're starting to play good baseball. We had some key guys with significant injuries happen. And they're coming back. We're getting healthy, so we're starting to show the team that I thought we were going to be. We're starting to show that now.
Chris Crenshaw is the head baseball coach at Southern in his fourth season. He joins us here on Box to Row. So was that what it was early on? Because, I mean, there were some tough games. Look, I mean, you look at, you know, Grambling's got a good program right now in terms of percentage points in first place in the Western Division. You've got Texas Southern on the schedule. A nice win in the Andre Dawson Classic against Alabama State. You played a good A&T program, a good Florida A&M program. So was it more, early on, was it more injuries? Or, I mean, those are some good programs too.
Yeah, a lot of it was guys being new to the program, new to how people get up to play against us, and then we had some injuries to go along with that.
Talk about the sweep of Alcorn State a little bit. Maybe what, just a couple of weeks ago, you were able to sweep the Braves. That's a good win to keep you right in first place in the Western Division.
Yeah, we needed to take care of business that weekend to put us in a situation to play for first place. We did. We went out and played good baseball. We got two good pitching outings, and then on Sunday we had to swing the bat, score some runs to sweep that series.
Yeah, I mean, similarly to PV, I would ask you, the scores may not indicate, maybe, you know, the pitching could have been a little, maybe was off, but the bats certainly weren't. You outscored PV. You had to really score some runs to sweep PV last weekend.
We weren't scoring a whole lot of runs early. We started doing smaller group work in the cages and stuff, and hitting BP on the field to work on some things, and the things we've been working on started to carry over to the games. And we were very productive offensively the last two weekends and Monday. So I what we worked on is starting to show.
What did you work on? 22 runs against PV? You must have worked. I mean, you all must have been working, seriously working.
Yeah, we were working on having a better understanding of what we want to do offensively and a better understanding of the strike zone.
I want to ultimately ask you how you're growing as the head coach at Southern. That said, you found success immediately as the interim coach. You won the SWAC tournament championship. It's not like, everybody knows you've been with the program. It's not that. But was it difficult? Were these last couple of seasons difficult because you had so much success early on?
No. Last year, we were just banged up down the backstretch. We limped into the tournament. Nick Wilson was throwing good, so we knew we had a shot at winning one game. And we just needed to figure out the other part. But when I got a healthy team, we're pretty good. 21. That 21 year, my interim year, we limped into the tournament. The starting lineup that I had the first game of the tournament was the starting lineup I had the first game of the year. And that was the only time I had it was when we got back to the tournament, where everybody that started game one was healthy. and played together. 22, we stayed healthy the whole year. I don't remember having any injury that kept the same lineup from not going out to play. And then 23, like I said, we limped into the playoffs. We had some guys banged up. And right now, the injuries that we have were early in the season and look like we're starting to get healthy going in, getting into the middle and the back half of the conference play.
No doubt. And what are some of the challenges that Arkansas Pine Bluff present?
They got two guys with high batting averages, probably top in the country right now. We got to find a way to keep those two guys quiet and make everybody else contribute in ways that they haven't contributed this year yet for them.
Being an assistant coach, Roger Cador, legendary coach, many SWAC tournament championships, many players to play in Major League Baseball. You were an interim coach. An assistant coach with him for a couple of years before taking over as interim coach and now head coach. What did you learn? But you knew him, you know, you coached at Jackson State. Jackson State had a lot of success in terms of baseball, especially winning regular season championships. What did you learn from Coach Cador?
Coach Cador really taught me how to become a man, how to handle business. When to handle business. He always said you handle business before lunch. That's when everybody wants to do business. And then as far as practice, he wanted me to create a good routine that the guys could get into. They knew what to expect. And when guys know what to expect and what to do, it carries over to performing in the game.
And you played for him. Do you still get advice from him?
Yeah, we talk all the time. I let him come around. I don't keep him from not being around. He's always welcome to show up whenever he wants. The field house that we work out of is the Roger Cador Field House. So how can I not let the man with his name on the building come around?
Yeah, you're right, Coach Crenshaw. I don't think that would be too good. Couple more thoughts. You know, some of the personnel, speak to who's playing well for you, especially with the bat, and then your pitchers. Who's pitching well for you currently?
Pitching well for us right now is a couple of different guys. You got Jerry Burkett, Renard Grace, Drew Lassane, Christian Davis, Genesis Prosper. That's just to name a few. And then we had Peyton Huff step up on Sunday and pitch four big innings to quiet Prairie View's bat so we can get going again in that Sunday game. And then hit offensively, Cameron Bird, Tyler Hawkins, Kyle Radcliffe, Jacoby Radcliffe had a big weekend. Donnie Sanford bat woke up on Monday. Jalen Mack has been batting four holes since he's been back healthy, and KJ White has been really good for us as well.
Is Cameron Bird healthy? Like, he's got five home runs. He's slugging .571.
Yeah, he's healthy, and he's playing. He was a guy that we got out of the transfer portal, and he's doing well for us.
Last thought, how are you growing as the head coach of Southern in now your fourth season?
I would say I've grown a lot. If you ask the seniors on this team this year, we kind of grew up together. Because when I became the head coach, they were freshmen, and now we're 4 years later and they're seniors. So I would say I matured a lot. I have become more reliant on my players instead of me trying to take control of everything. I kind of let them go out there and play, and I step in and interfere when I need to.
I like that. Interfere when you need to. Chris Crenshaw, the head baseball coach at Southern, joining us here on the program. Again, the Jaguars are number 7 in the BlackCollegeBaseball.com poll, have won 4 straight games, hosting a weekend series against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Coach Crenshaw, listen, really appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Jaguars.
Appreciate it. We need it.
You heard Chris Crenshaw say it. It was a big win, but hey, we've got some other fish to fry, including conference play, as Arkansas Pine Bluff comes to Baton Rouge. Up next here on Box to Row, four teams remain. We're talking Final Four.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
We're going to switch gears a little bit here on Box to Row and actually talk some NBA. Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media. No one knows the NBA better than Mike Wallace. He's been covering the NBA for over 20 years, and he joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Good to be on with you anytime, man, and especially this time of year where there's so much going on across the gamut of sports, man. It's a blessing to be on with you, man, so thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. 10 to 12 games left in the NBA. I mean, there's so many different ways we can go with this. I want to start here because I'm trying to figure out, and look, I mean, the Celtics from start to finish have been the best team in the NBA, but you have what has happened against Atlanta. And so what do you make? I mean, you know, and we've seen the Celtics not do as well in the playoffs, maybe as we thought they may be over the last couple of years. What do you make of the Celtics?
You know, as you were saying, you know, start to finish, they've been the class of the NBA, the most consistent team in the NBA throughout the season. They just keep running into these teams, you know, every, you know, couple of weeks where they have a hiccup. You're talking about the, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, man, for them to be able to be up as much as they were on the Hawks and then give that game away. That's a bad tendency. They also are 0-2, 0-2 against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Denver went into Boston and beat them when they had that home court streak going to start the season. And then they beat them in Denver when Boston needed to go in there and prove something to the team that has the NBA trophy right now, the championship trophy. So listen, if you're asking me which team would I be most willing to feel comfortable going out on a limb and saying we'll win a championship, it's going to be Boston and Denver meeting in the finals. That's my safest pick right there. And Boston still has to prove to me that they can beat Denver. But what I make of that team is that they're the strongest collection of starters and reserves coming off the bench, 2-3 guys coming off the bench that we have in the NBA right now. And if they do not win a championship, they are truly a championship or bust. As Jason Tatum said during an appearance, I believe it was on TNT, everybody's gotten paid. Like all of their top guys that are in the peak of their primes are on max contracts. Some of their veterans that are long in the tooth have already had max contracts before. They're just trying to get championships. and that their bench and their role players are eager to go ahead and get that championship run too. So they have everything. They don't have any excuse. They got to go ahead and win this thing this year if we're ever going to believe in what this team can do as a championship team.
30-point lead against – I mean, I could understand if it was Denver or maybe even Milwaukee or whomever, even if it was the Lakers, right? It was – no disrespect to the Hawks, but it was the Hawks. Hawks got good players, but it's the Hawks late in the season. And that's not the only loss. Like, we've had some others this year. Mm-hmm. Why do the Celtics have these kind of lulls?
You know, you're talking about the one that obviously is the most recent one is the loss to the Hawks. You go back a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, they had a loss to the Los Angeles Lakers that was playing without LeBron and Anthony Davis, right? They were missing both of those guys, and they went in there and beat Boston at home. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have situations where Boston, you know, they kind of, it seems like they get bored with the season a little bit, and they kind of go through the motions until they get smacked in the face, and then they realize, oh, wow, we're in the middle of a dogfight right now. Let's try to pull this out. That's just the tendency of a team getting bored. Golden State kind of went through it outside of that season when they set the NBA record for, 71, 72 wins. You know, Chicago Bulls used to go through it. You know, they would have a random loss to, you know, a Cleveland Cavaliers or somebody like that, you know, on their schedule when Jordan and the Bulls were rolling. You know, these dominant teams would have these little lulls because the NBA season is long. 82 games is a long stretch to be playing at your best night in and night out. So, every once in a while, there's a schedule loss that comes along, and you got to, you know, just understand that it's a hiccup and you keep moving. Boston always regroups from those type of things and go on another run. And this one, they just trying to finish out the season. They've pretty much clinched the number one seed at this point in the East. They're going to probably start resting some of their guys to get ready for that 1A matchup. They'll get a long week off for the play-in to finalize and finish out. And then we'll see if this team has the championship medal that we all believe and think that they have.
Mike Wallace is the senior editor of Grind City Media. He joins us here on the program as we talk some NBA. Last time we had you on the program, we were talking about Doc Rivers. They couldn't figure it out. Then the Bucks figured it out. And now you have not the same situation as the Celtics, but we're talking about the two best teams in the East. What do you make? I mean, what do you make of the Bucks heading into the playoffs?
You know, they're so shady. You know, I see the names. I see Dame Lillard. I see Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's putting up tremendous stats again, and is probably not getting enough MVP discussion and consideration. And we'll talk about that in a minute because this might be the most hotly contested MVP race that I've ever seen in 20 plus years of being around this league. It's just something off about the Bucks, man. They have so many moving parts. They still don't have really an identity. They were a bad defensive team earlier. They got much better once they made some of these trades and got, you know, Pat Beverly and those guys in. It's almost like they're still searching for combinations that work for them. Chris Middleton has been in and out. He's been hurt, banged up. He hadn't gotten all the way back to what he needs to be. So there's still some questions that you got to ask about the Bucks. But that is a team that made the trade for Damian Lillard to win a championship. It wasn't just to get back to the finals. It was to win it all. And I think that if that team does not get to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, there's going to be some strong, strong looks in the mirror to figure out what they need to do to turn this thing around because Dame doesn't have a lot of time. Giannis is locked up now. He signed that long-term extension. But as we saw, he's not afraid to do things and make kind of some maneuvers and some statements to get a coach out of there if he needs to get a player out of there if he needs to. So he doesn't have a lot of patience coming up short in the playoffs.
From what you've seen from the Cleveland Cavaliers, can the Cavaliers challenge in the playoffs? Can they make a deep playoff run?
They should. They should. They are my dark horse in the East. And, you know, as much as I love the grit and the competitive fire that the Knicks have and the streakiness that they are, I think the team that's the scariest that most people would not want to play would be Cleveland because they have a dynamic way of beating you in 120, 125 point scoring games. They can also beat you in a slugfest at 89 to 86 if it has to go down to that. Now, the question, though, and the key is they have to have their guys on the floor. You know what I mean? Caris LeVert, is going to be considered for sixth man of the year coming off that bench. Donovan Mitchell has been banged up coming down the stretch of the season, so he's going to have to get healthy. They're going to have to keep both Jared Allen and their power forward. Why is his name escaping me? But they're going to have to keep him on the floor as well in order to make sure that they can Evan Mobley, so to make sure that they can be at their full potential. But that team has a little bit of everything. Garland is ready to go. Donovan Mitchell, if he's healthy, you know, that's another 30-point-per-game guy who's been into the playoffs. This team is a scary team if they're healthy, and they're as good as anyone in the East when they're right. They just have to make sure they go in right. They don't have any margin for error among the top contenders there, and they don't, because they don't have that experience and that collective playoff experience that they need. But this team has everything they have on paper to be a scary team in the East to contend with.
Mike Wallace is the senior editor of Grind City Media. He joins us here on the program to talk some NBA. The Suns are interesting because they in the beginning, just playing well below what we would have expected. Then went on a nice little run. Matter of fact, I had a chance to be at that game in San Francisco, the Warriors and Phoenix and Suns game where the Suns lost that game. But boy, that was a big time shot by Steph. And now, you know, the Suns are back down again. What do you make of the swings of the Suns this year?
Ooh, you know, it's sometimes you can put together quality pieces and they just don't fit or they struggle to fit. We know individually Devin Booker is a top 10 player in this league. Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer that's going to be considered a top 15 player, top 20 player of all time. You know, Bradley Beal is one of the better guards and, you know, better scoring threats that we have in the league at that position. They've tried to round out their supporting cast a little bit. Eric Gordon has done some good things off the bench. Grayson Allen has been good. Nurkic has been dependable for the most part. But they just don't have a whole lot of options beyond, you know, they don't go too deep at all. And Vogel is relying on a lot of minutes for some of these guys. And you wonder, has this season taken a toll? It's not like everybody's played from the start to finish, but they never were able to get this sustained stretch of healthy play. They haven't had 20 straight games where everyone has been available. And I think that's hurting them right now. Now, having said that, you know, if they slip into that play-in and you got to go one and out or one and done, I like Phoenix's firepower against just about anybody that will be in the play-in because it's the one-game type situation. Now, can they sustain and last in a first-round, second-round series, a seven-game series against a younger team, especially if they're going to be towards the bottom of the standings, or a more veteran, desperate team like the Clippers or the Pelicans? That's going to be a dogfight, man. So it's going to be unpredictable. But I do like Phoenix's firepower and their upside. They just haven't been able to sustain success much at all this season.
Mike Wallace, the senior editor of Grind City Media. Give him a follow on Twitter, or X as it were, at My Mike Check. Also check out his the great content that Grind City Media does at grindcitymedia.com as he talks some NBA with us here on the program. Appreciate the time, Mike. As always, we look forward to catching up with you and talking some more NBA real soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it, Donald. Looking forward to it as well.
My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media. Thank you to Chris Crenshaw, head baseball coach at Southern, for joining us today here on the program. Looking forward to enjoying all of the festivities, the acts, etc. at Dreamville, right here in Raleigh. Dreamville, already one of the best music festivals in all of the country. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Final Four weekend. Looking forward to the national championship game on Monday. Just a bunch going on. And look, we've got some great content on our website at BoxToRow.com. Some great conversations. If you missed the conversation with Mike Wallace, check out that conversation either at BoxToRow.com or on the BoxToRow YouTube page. Also, follow us on X as well as Facebook and Instagram. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row. Is produced by DW Communications.
Count it up, count it up, count it, count it up, count it up, count it up. count it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it, count it up, count it up, count it up, count it, count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. I know that it's difficult. I'm stacking this paper, it's sort of habitual. I blow the residual and f- like it's part of my ritual.